Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Welcome, everybody, to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. I'm your host, Greg Giamborisi. Hook, Line, and Splitter, presented by Judd Shaw Injury Law. We understand the toll that injuries take on families, and we're here to help. For a free consultation, call 1-866-909-6894. Or visit JuddShawInjuryLaw.com. That's Judd with two D's, ShawInjuryLaw.com. Our guest today, it's episode 62, and it's number 55, Blue Claws right-hander Tommy McCollum will join us in a bit. He was awesome. We're taping this part here on Saturday the 29th. We talked to Tommy on Friday, April 28th. It's a rainy weekend in Shoretown, and hopefully we'll get today's game in a 4-0-5 start with the Brooklyn Cyclones. Blue Claws have won 6 of their last 7, playing very well, and Tommy McCollum has been a big part of that winning streak and some of the early successes that we've seen from the team so far this year. He's the number 28 prospect in the system per the MLB pipeline, signed as a non-drafted free agent with the Phillies in 2021 out of Wingate University, a Division II school in North Carolina. And we talk a lot about his time there, Division II championship. He went there playing both ways, so we talk about when he switched to just pitching, his time in the Cape Cod League, signing with the Phillies. It's a fun interview. You're going to like it, and he even mentions some lessons he got from Roger Clemens during spring training when Clemens was down in Clearwater to see his son Cody, who is now a member, of course, of the Phillies. So, Hook, Line, and Splitter, presented by Judd Shaw Injury Law, Tommy McCollum. We'll get to Tommy in a second. Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of the minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App Store or Google Play and start scoring rewards today. Bally Live. Download that now, and you can watch every Blue Claws game that's streamed live through MILB TV for free on Bally Live. So check that out. And now let's get to our special guest. It's Blue Claws reliever Tommy McCollum. Our guest, Blue Claws right-hander Tommy McCollum, who joins us Blue Claws home this weekend. A little wet weather out there, but we'll see. Team's won 6 out of 7. Tommy, welcome. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me on.
How do you think your season started off?
Season started off in Brooklyn, you know, and it's not what we wanted. And then we came home, not what we wanted. Then we hit on the road and figured it out. So I think we're heading in the right direction.
And for you personally, how do you feel like you've been throwing so far?
Been throwing well overall. There's things I'm still working on and working through. So being able to play 6 games a week and throwing 2 or 3 of those games really gives me a chance to work on some things.
And what kinds of things were you working on, heading into 2023 after, you know, a couple of seasons in the Philly system? What were some of your goals entering this year?
Some of my goals this year is using my off speed more and just utilizing that off of my fastball. And then the obvious one, just staying healthy through a full season because I fractured my fibula last year.
Yeah. So how did that happen?
I was coming in the night down in Clearwater. And there was a comebacker on the mound, and I just got all twisted up and fell on my leg and fractured my fibula.
What time of the season was that?
That was on June 30th.
And did you made it back?
No, I was done for the remainder of the year, but I stayed down in Clearwater till end of October and got healthy, then went home.
And at the time, you know, you were pitching really well. You had a sub-1.5 ERA. We probably would have saw you here at some point later that summer. So what was the rehab process like for you?
I spent 4 weeks on crutches, then another 4 weeks in a walking boot, then 5 weeks of rehab. So took a month off from throwing while I was on crutches. And then when I was in my walking boot, I played catch a little bit, and then once I was out, it was catch, pitching, running, all of it.
Did you pitch in the fall in instructional league down there?
I didn't pitch in an actual instructional league game. I threw live BP, but I did not get into a game, no.
So when did you get down to Florida for the spring this year?
I got down the first week of January.
Oh, so you went down really early.
Yes, sir. It was more of, I talked with Preston. He was like, we'd love to have you. And I agreed. And just to kind of get out of that rehab mode and get more into just baseball again.
So before everybody gets there, which is early March, so you're down there, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks or whatever before everybody gets there. What's that like when it's a little more quiet? Who's down there with the coaches? You know, did you have any interaction with some of the big league guys that may have come down earlier as well?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more quiet for sure. So in the month of January, we were on BayCare side, and it was just come do your stuff, lift, do your training room stuff, just kind of leave. Because of the WBC this year, we saw a couple of the big league guys like JT Realmuto and Jose Alvarado were there pretty early. I wouldn't say I interacted with them, but I got to see them, which was pretty cool.
What kinds of things do you learn as a younger guy just watching and being around, you know, established big league players like that?
They have their routine and they stick to it. They do the same thing, whether it's they had a good day or a bad day, like performance wise, they're showing up to the field, being the same person and just doing what they do day in and day out.
So tell us about your background. You know, you joined the Phillies in 2021 as a non-drafted free agent. What was that whole process like after that draft? And how did you pick the Phillies among the other clubs that were interested?
Ooh. So I guess if we could take it back even further than that.
Okay.
So it was my junior year at Wingate University. And a lot of scouts were coming out in the fall, but I was going to be a starter. So I was starting. And my first three starts of the season did not go well at all. Then we went back to the bullpen. I was still in a little funk, but Wingate, we ended up going to the World Series in Cary, North Carolina. And I pitched the semifinal game to get into the national championship game. I threw well. And then two days later, as a reliever.
Okay, got it.
Then me and my teammate, 2 days after we won the national championship, went up to the Cape. So we went home, washed all of our stuff from the school year, packed, and drove up. And he was a pitcher as well, so he had hopes for the draft. And then on the third day of the draft, he gets drafted in the 17th round by the Giants. And I'm just – I didn't have a good performance year, so I had no idea what was going to happen. And then I was sitting there, and I get a call on my phone, and it says it's from – Philadelphia, and I answered it. We talked, and then they hung up. The draft ended. Then they called me right back and was like, are you interested in an undrafted free agent deal? I said, absolutely. So then with that opportunity on the table with the year I had, there was a lot of emotion behind it. So that was an easy yes at the end of the day. And here we are now.
Did you pitch in the Cape, or was it really fast?
I did. I don't know how many games I actually threw up there, but I did. That was my second time going to the Cape. I went in 2019, supposed to go in COVID year 2020, then went back in 2021.
So did you have one more year at Wingate if you wanted it?
I had two more years.
Oh, because of the COVID year too, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a hard decision. Like, all in all, it was an easy decision to say yes to go to pro ball, but it was hard at the a little bit just with all my buddies still there. And so
you won the national title.
And we just came off a national championship. So
when you got here, you filled out a little, you know, questionnaire, and that was one of your fun facts, D2 national champion and your favorite baseball memory as well there at Wingate. So what do you remember about your outing there in the semifinal and that whole weekend or the whole?
Well, I remember it a lot because I've watched it over and over again because I kind of blacked out there. But it was the bottom of the ninth. I came in, man on second, two outs, struck the dude out, and then we scored a run in the top of the 10th. Then I go 1-2-3. Like, it was just, for me,
that's the semifinal or the final?
It was the semifinal.
That was the semifinal. Okay.
And we lost the very first game of the tournament. So we had to come out of the loser's bracket. So we were playing every day just saying, today was not the day. Today was not the day. And that was our motto we had for the week. And it worked.
And you said it was in Cary, North Carolina. Wingate's in North Carolina. You're from North Carolina. Yeah. So that made it extra special.
That was something else. The support we had throughout the whole game or the whole week, just we were 2 hours roughly from school, so like there were still some students that would make the trip. Alumni, like other alumni coming out of state, it was truly special. And then on the national championship day, that was like before I got down here, it's the most people I've ever been in a game a part of. Like, it was awesome.
So you beat Central Missouri.
Yes.
Which is Jordan Fowler's school.
Yes. I let him talk to him about
it. He was with the Phillies by then. Yeah, he was gone. Yeah,
and then Josh Borka from this year's draft was there, but he wasn't on that team. He came in the year after. So.
Yeah, so you guys lost to Angelo State. And then beat Southern New Hampshire, Seton Hill, Angelo State twice, and Central Missouri.
Yes, sir. It was.
That's quite the run.
It was something else.
And this all took place in a week.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. How many games did you pitch in? Because, I mean, those tournaments, when you have to play so many games in such a tight window, if you don't have pitching depth, it's almost impossible, especially if you have to run the table from the loser's bracket.
Well, that was my first time pitching since conference tournament because, like I said, I had a very long year on the mound and, like, my mental state. Like, just I was drained. So I hadn't pitched for a while. And then in the conference tournament, I only threw 4 pitches, too. So, like, I hadn't pitched in a game in a very long time. So I was rested, but it was more just also for the mind too, which helped in the long run. But yeah, so 2021 was a long year for me, but it was awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then what's it like? Because obviously I'm sure you dreamed of being a professional baseball player. What's it like when you finally put pen to paper and sign that contract?
It was unreal. Just like, I don't think it set in for a little while, like truly what probably till I didn't go back to Wingate in the fall. Like, it's when it set in, like all my friends were at school, but I was in Clearwater, and that's when it truly set in. Was like, oh, this is real, real. Like,
yeah,
let's go get after it.
Did the Phillies call come out of the blue? Or had you of been around? Had they been around? Had you talked to them? Or was it?
Totally I had a questionnaire online from them, but before then, I had zero idea. Like, my coach told me that just based off of performance throughout the 2021 season at school, like, you know, just probably a free agent deal, maybe something late. So I just tried not to think about it, but you always have that small hope. And like I said, as soon as I called Kellen McKeon back, I just started bawling. I was just so relieved and happy, and so many different emotions were going on, and it was awesome.
And Kellen was the area scout that signed you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so you get into the system now. So you get, you know, a taste of it in 2021 and then, you know, the half year in 2022. But as you've grown as a player over the last few years, with the Phillies, it's been, you know, a little less than 2 full years since you signed. What have they stressed, and who's kind of been a coaching mentor for you?
It's tough. I would say Vic Diaz helped me a lot last year, and it'd be my first full season. And just kind of the day in, day out stuff. And I also like to get not input, but just hear what other coaches have to say, not necessarily pitching coaches, because we're all showing up 6 days a week, or in season, 6 days a week, like having to do our stuff and just hear that stuff. And it's just a lot of observing for me. I like to observe in a, Vic, just learning a good throwing routine, like what I need each day to be ready to go whenever. Like if I threw 20 pitches yesterday, what should I do today? What should I get done in the training room, the weight room? Just figuring all that out was a big part of my 2022 season.
But, what advice would you give to a player that was in your position that signs this year, having, you know, that you've gone through now the system for a couple of years, and you know, what surprised you from when you signed about being a professional player?
I would just tell them to like stick to it, and not, if it doesn't work one time, doesn't mean it's not going to work all the time. You have to find your routine, but it's also a little bit of trial and error. So stick with it for a little bit. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But just because you did it one time and you might have had a bad outing doesn't mean you necessarily weren't prepared for it. And do a lot of the little stuff, like do the most you can, like don't leave anything on the table, because like you said, like not everyone gets this opportunity to be a professional athlete. Like take advantage of it.
Back to the podcast in a second. Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963, 732-370-5963, or richgreenlawns.com. And when shopping for appliances, electronics, and mattresses, you want a local hometown team that you can trust. That's PC Richard & Son. PC Richard & Son is a friendly and knowledgeable sales team, installations, and repair service you can trust, and the guaranteed lowest prices. So get to PC Richard & Son today. Shop smart. Shop local. Shop PC Richard & Son. Who were some of your favorite players or kind of a baseball idol when you were growing up? Who'd you like watching?
Well, I liked watching Chipper Jones because I was born in Atlanta. So, and then North Carolina, it was either really the Braves or the Nationals or Orioles. So I went with the Braves. But once I was a little older, I just more liked watching pitching than anything. I didn't have a really a favorite player to watch. I just liked watching everyone and see how they do their certain things and what makes them special.
Did you, in high school, did you play a position, or at what point did you just switch to being a pitcher exclusively?
Yeah. So I went to a small private high school. So there was one game I played every position, but catcher. So
like for fun.
It was just kind of how the game went. It was an actual. Yeah, I was at second base for like an out or two, just, but.
That's cool. That's something that not everybody gets to. Every once in a while, like the last game of the season, if there's a utility player or whatever, they might let them try it. That's pretty cool, though, that you got to do it.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. But then I actually signed to wing it as a two-way player. And so I hit my freshman fall, and then pitching, I developed more as a pitcher, and like it was throwing harder, like succeeding. So throughout the season, I didn't hit or play the field at all. And then 2019, I got invited to the Cape for the last half or last 3 weeks. And when I came back, my coach was like, yeah, we're going to put the bat down. I was like, are you sure? Like, you sure you want to take it away from me? He said, yeah, I think this is the best for you. I said, okay.
And well, it worked out.
Yeah, so it was going into my sophomore years when I became a pitcher only.
What was the Cape experience like for you? And everybody that I've ever talked to about it absolutely raves about it.
It's awesome. It was, I mean, talking like the best of the best, like a lot of the guys I've played with or against, like we're seeing them now. And it's It's awesome. And it's like the fields aren't the best. It's not the best stuff, but it's the best baseball. And that's what you're there for at the end of the day.
And you live with host families, right?
Oh, loved my host families, both of them. They still text me. There was a family, I think it was either this spring training or previously, they came down to Florida. So they took us out to dinner. Like, I still talked to my other one, and one of my other buddies went up to the Cape last year. So I got him to stay with that host family. So it was awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. I know everybody that I've ever talked to, players and some broadcasters too, mm-hmm. they all swear by it and said it's one of the best baseball experiences that any player could have. So that's awesome that you got to do it a couple times.
It is. It was fun.
So did you play basketball? You're a big guy.
I played in high school. Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. It was more just I loved it. And, but it was a lot, just something different than baseball and just stay in shape. And so, but I love playing basketball.
Power forward.
I was our center.
Center. Okay.
It was, there were some games that were difficult guarding guys that were going Power Five Division One, and I'm just out there committed to baseball. But
who was the best basketball player you faced?
I don't know about players specifically, but I guarded guys going to like Wake Forest, Penn State, Bucknell, like a lot of, and they're bigger than me, so that was a lot of fun. But
so, what part of North Carolina did you go to high school?
In Winston-Salem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So next week, obviously, you guys will be in North Carolina again. Hickory, well, 2 weeks down there, Hickory and then Greensboro, which is not that far from Winston-Salem for sure. And Hickory's not that far either. Nope. So how many friends, family, you think you'll get to bring out to the games?
I know a few so far, but I hope once they realize how close I am, they'll make the trip. But no, like one of my teammates from the Wingate, he's coaching a high school team in Hickory. So he's bringing his team out to a game.
Oh, that's awesome.
One of the guys, he graduated a year before I got there, but he was still around Wingate. So and he's coming, one of my other buddies, like my parents. I think my grandma's going to get to come out one game, and that's really exciting because she hadn't seen me play in a while. So,
oh, that's fantastic. And then in the summer, you go to Winston-Salem.
Oh, yeah.
Actual Winston-Salem. Yeah, July 18th there for a week.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that because home's like 10 minutes away. Like,
did you ever play in that stadium?
I did get to play a couple times. Our high school, we got to play there a couple times, and it was playing in it as a high schooler. That was amazing. And now to think that I get to do it every day at different stadiums is something else.
Where's Wingate in relation to Winston-Salem?
It's like an hour 45 southeast a little bit. It's 30 minutes or so east of Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how'd you end up there?
I went to a camp and I had a good performance. Then my coach White called me he pulled me over. We talked and he took me on a tour of the campus. And then a couple weeks later they offered and I committed early January of my junior year. So it was early per se, but I knew once I like really looked into it that it was home. It was nice too because we were close to home.
But not
I was close to home. Yeah, not too close.
Yeah.
But close.
Yeah, yeah.
Close enough that the parents could come down. And then all the schools we played were pretty close too. So they were able to come watch a lot of games.
So this year you get a new pitching coach and new to the system and Phil Condari. What have you learned from him?
Man, Phil, oh, love me some Phil. Phil's good. He teaches you what you need to know, but he can also bring you back like to reality and just like reassure you and the things that you're doing. And then Brady Lale, our assistant pitching coach, he just got done playing too. So he gets that aspect of, hey, like, I know what you're going through. I know I just did this. And having that perspective. And he's down in the Brady Lale's in the bullpen
in the
with
pen,
us.
Yeah.
Which is so we're talking like the whole bullpen, just talking about the hitter or like what pitch or whatever throughout the whole game. And that's really fun. But Phil's a good one.
Yeah. He's a really nice guy. And he's crazy, crazy, but really fascinating backstory.
Oh yeah.
All-American in college.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's a licensed psychotherapist.
Yeah. It's something else, but no, he's good.
Does he kind of teach things or see things differently, relay things differently for you based on, his training and his background?
Phil and I, we talked a lot throughout spring training. So I had a good understanding of how he, a better understanding of how he like teaches things or relays things or how he sees the game. So yeah, it's a little different, but all in all, it's the same game. And that's why I'm really glad we also have two pitching coaches too, because you got two eyes on you. You got two ways of seeing something, and it's awesome.
So having a coach in the bullpen is new, right, for you guys?
Yes. Yeah. I've never had a coach in the bullpen, but it's.
So how is the bullpen conversation different with a coach down there compared to, say, last year when it was just you guys?
It's a little different, yeah, but at the same time, he's a major league baseball player too.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he
gets,
yeah. And he's still younger too. So we still have our fun, but when it's time to go, it's time to go. It's
sure.
It's yeah.
So you have one save so far this year. You had five last year with Clearwater. And as you said before, just half a season. Do you like pitching the ninth inning? You like closing out games? Semifinal there.
Yeah. We're calling it like a high leverage situation this year. Like just, hey, we need this now. Those situations are a lot of fun because winning that national championship and going through the things that I had to go through, just winning is awesome. Winning is fun. And we're here to win. We're here to develop, but we're here to win. So when I can be a part of that, us winning, it's awesome.
So I know, you can crank it up there into the mid to upper 90s. Had you always been able to throw that hard, or is that developed in your 2 years with the Phillies now?
Yeah, so that's quite interesting. So my freshman year of college, I got up to 96. Sophomore year, a little more, like 96, 97. Junior year, junior fall, same thing, but then that – like I said, that junior year was like long for me. I was throwing low to maybe mid 90s. Mm-hmm. And it was just a long year. And then I got down here and I was upper 80s, low 90s. So then I took a month off and started rebuilding. And then Travis Hergert called me and was like, hey, are you interested in going to Driveline for 3 weeks? I said, I'll let you know. Came back and I was like, yes, I'll go. So there was a group of us that went out to Driveline for 3 weeks.
Which offseason was this?
This was going into 22.
Okay.
So went to Driveline, got up to 97 by the end of it, then came back and held that so far. But
so what did you learn there, and what processes did you do there that you
took? It was just more understanding my body and just how it needs to move and everything. I think Driveline was definitely a big part in my development, but I think the month I put down the baseball helped the most. Just getting away from it. Because in Division II, our first games are the first week of February.
Yep.
So you're playing scrimmages the first week you get back in January. So I played from January to October, and that's the longest I've ever played. So I was drained. So I think putting the baseball down for a month helped. And I still did a lot of baseball things, but just in the weight room. Like I had my lifts and med ball stuff, just stuff to translate to pitching, but without actually throwing a ball.
What's your best off speed?
My splitter. Yeah, it's.
When did you start throwing it?
Well, I had it in college, never threw it. But then when I did go to driveline, it's when it really developed into my pitch. So I threw that all of last year. And then this spring training, Roger Clemens came and talked to us as a whole.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, then Preston pulled me aside, and I got to talk to Roger Clemens a little bit about his splitter and his thought process on it. So then I changed my grip a little bit and just listened to what he had to say, and it's been helpful.
Was that a result of the Phillies trading for Cody, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was there because Cody was there, but
that's really cool. And nobody, that's the first time anybody said that. Yeah. So you had a one-on-one training session with the Hall of Famer. Well, actually,
well, yeah. I'd call about a 5-minute conversation.
All right, well, that still counts. And he's
it was awesome. Cause then a lot of the coaches, other pitching coaches saw what was going on and came and listened. And so that was a very neat experience. It was, yeah, it was talk to Hall of Famer.
Is the splitter a pitch that you'll throw in any count? Or is it more of a, you know, get ahead when you're ahead?
More of when I'm ahead. That's why, like I said, I'm trying to work on throwing my off speed more. So I'm trying to just use situations where maybe earlier in the count, but it's more later in the count as a put away pitch or anything.
And you keep your catcher on the toe on their toes with that one too.
Yeah, because Anthony Kirion was in the pen last night, and we were talking about it. He said it's one of my least favorite pitches to catch because you never know when it's going to drop. I said, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's the point.
Yeah,
that's the point. So last question, will UNC basketball bounce back this year after a tough season?
I think so. I think so. They have. I think they'll bounce back. One of my buddies from back home, we talk about it all the time. So I hope so.
How big is it there?
Basketball. Like,
yeah. Is it the number one sport that people
talk
about?
ACC basketball is the best, but because then you have Wake Forest, who did really well this year in Winston-Salem. But my mom went to UNC, and then my dad grew up right outside Chapel Hill, so my grandma groomed me into be a UNC fan. So
there you go. Well, Tommy, thanks so much for a few minutes. Really appreciate it. Continued success, and best of luck this weekend. If hopefully we get a couple of these in. And if not, best of luck next week and have fun getting to go home to North Carolina.
Thank you.
Thanks to Blue Claws reliever Tommy McCollum for joining us today on episode 62 of Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast presented by Judd Shaw Injury Law. A great interview. That was a lot of fun. These guys have been great. We've had three of them on so far this year, Jamari Baylor, Nick Ward, and then Tommy McCollum this week. So season's just underway. We're going to bowl through this roster. So it'll be a lot of fun. Blue Claws did make a move today. A familiar face is back, right-hander Albertus Barber, who was here back in 2019 and then again in 2022. And he was added to the roster earlier on Friday. So good to see Albertus back with the Blue Claws. Jared Carr homered on both Wednesday and Thursday for Jersey Shore, matching his home run total from all of last year when he hit two of the whole season. He's already up to two so far this year, so that is a good sign. Blue Claws will be on the road for 2 weeks. They'll go to North Carolina, as we talked about, with Tommy, Hickory, and Greensboro, and then they will come home on Tuesday, May 16th, to play Wilmington, and that'll be a fun weekend. You'll have the Fanatic here on Thursday, the 18th. Friday, the 19th, is Marvel Superhero Night with Black Panther. Saturday is Buster's birthday and Touch Some Trucks Day, so that'll be a fun day. That's a 4:05. And then Sunday, 1:05, May 21st, Bark in the Park. That'll do it for us today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back. I got a couple of good guest ideas for upcoming episodes that we're going to try to run down. So Subscribe to this on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And thanks for joining us. Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast.